The following paid commercial program was furnished by the program sponsor. The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again here at Radio Free New York, where we talk about all of your rights all the time. I've got Bob Savage in studio, as always.
Ahoy, mateys.
And we've got another guest who will be joining us here shortly. I want to remind everybody, last show we got some call-ins. That was awesome. So if you're listening to the show and you want to call in, ask us a question, give us your 2 cents, give us a call, 585-346-3000 or 866-552-1009. We figured out at the last show the Verizon number is dead.
It's kaput.
It's gone. So
nobody's used it for years.
Yeah,
It's like you gave it out. And it was, maybe we should check and just make sure that it works, and it doesn't.
Yeah. So speaking of the last show, that is up on AYR.show if you want to listen to the podcast there. It's also on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever your flavor is. Feel free to check it out. But what we talked about is we talked about activism and how activism looks different to different people. My level of political activism is different than my wife's, than my family's, than my friends'. And there's a lot of just different ways you can do that, whether it's sharing with friends and family, voting with your money. That's a big thing, choosing to support businesses that support your values and your principles. We also talked about the New York State thruway tolls and a way to eliminate those if that's something you're interested in. And we talked about how Cuomo vetoed eliminating the tolls in Syracuse. So I'm sure the people in Syracuse were really happy when that happened. And one other thing that I want to remind everybody, I'll try to remind a few times through the show, today is the last day to register to vote.
Yeah, actually, as you're listening to the show, if you're listening to a replay later on in the weekend, you missed the bus. Yep. So Friday, October 12th, this is it, guys. You got to get out there, register, and vote, and get a friend to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So Friday, October 12th, today, I believe if it's postmarked by today, you're okay. But really, go down to your local board of elections, fill it out right there, and make sure that they have it. So that you have a chance to have your voice heard this November.
And so you were talking about activism when we started the show.
Yes. So we're just talking about activism, how that looks different for every single person. And that might be knocking on doors. That might be choosing who you shop with. And that might be running for office. Each person has different activism. And just so people know, I kind of mentioned this, but we are live not just on WYSL, but WYSL's got three stations running right now. We've got 1040 AM, we've got 92.1, and the new one is
95.5 out in Spencerport.
Yep. So welcome
on the west side.
Yep. Welcome to all those guys. We're also live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Feel free to call us in. On the air, we have to be careful about what's said, though. There's FCC rules. So with that being said, many times when Larry and I travel the state, people ask us this question. They say, hey, you know, you and Larry, you're just one person or you're just two people. How are you going to get this specific policy put into play? How are you going to get through the assembly? How are you going to get through the Senate? And depending on the type of legislation, there's different ways. But one of the ways that I love talking about that people kind of forget about is there's elections every year. It's not just every 4 years, governor and lieutenant governor or comptroller and AG. No, every year in New York, politicians are up for vote. They're up. Their seats are up. They're available. And to make this stuff happen, yeah, we're going to have to bring some serious change in New York. We're going to have to get people elected into office that support your values and your principles. And so today on the show, I've actually got a person who's running for assembly in the 139th district. Mark, introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Golokowski.
So Mark is running in the 139th district. What areas does that cover?
That covers all of Genesee County, all of Orleans County, with the exception of the town of Shelby, and the four western towns of Monroe County, which are Hamlin, Clarkson, Sweden, and Riga.
Awesome. And I think the radio station covers that whole area.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, except for the extreme western part when you get out into Orleans County. But the Monroe County towns, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Very good. And it sounds like we've got another caller on the line.
No, he's gone.
Lost him. Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. So, Mark, for the constituents in your area that might be listening, what would you say to them, maybe top two or three things that's important for them and important for you?
Well, what's important for me is that I would like people to begin recognizing the tyranny that we live under. You can't miss it once you start recognizing it. We have zoning codes. We've lost a lot of our Ninth Amendment rights and our Tenth Amendment powers. You no longer have the right to own property. Basically, you rent it from the government. We've lost the ability to basically raise our own children. Once they go to school, they're out of your control. You don't even know what's happening because, like, for example, in the town of Alabama, the school system has this confidentiality principle. And if an incident happens, they won't even tell the parents what happened, who was involved, what the investigation found in terms of what discipline they should be taking or what the discipline is. Absolutely nothing goes to the parent. We've lost our ability to control our own kids once they disappear from our sight. What happened in Rochester is a perfectly great example of what the powers in our governments can do in terms of keeping parents away from their kids. That just concerns me dramatically. It also concerns me the fact that we have to report to the government every penny we earn because they don't consider it our income. They get to tell us how much of their income we earned for them that we get to keep, how we spend it, where we keep it. And if we don't spend it or keep it properly, they will take more of it away from us. This is all tyranny. And there's all kinds of examples that we could cover on the show. Just name an issue, and I can show you how tyranny is involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we mentioned, I know the answer, but the listeners might not. What party affiliation are you running under?
It should be pretty obvious that I'm running under the Libertarian banner. Yeah. I am a Libertarian. I believe you have a right to live your life any way you choose. You have a right to live on your property any way you choose. The government should not be telling you what you can and can't do with your own property. You should not have to go down to the government and get permission to change a window or to improve your property. It's your property. That's basically extortion. And if you don't pay the extortion bill, which is a zoning code bill or building permit, they will kick you off your own property. So this is just another form of tyranny.
Now, Mark, you had a long history of the Libertarian Party.
Well, not that long. I used to be a Republican. And about 2009, I began realizing what was wrong with our society and that the Republicans were actually part of the problem. They and the Democrats actually put in the 16th Amendment, which the U.S. Supreme Court has declared five times is unconstitutional. It's an unconstitutional law of the land. But the U.S. Supreme Court can't change the law of the land. Only Congress, at the insistence of the people, can change the law of the land. And whenever the U.S. Supreme Court has said that, everybody yawned and went back to watch a baseball game. So libertarians are stepping forward and saying, look, we got to do something to get back to our original principles and establish freedom in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting is when Larry and I talk about these issues and we travel across the state, we hear this all over. And just to pull one of many things that you talked about, simple things like zoning. Zoning in many ways takes away your rights to your own property. and makes you pay somebody else for something that maybe you shouldn't. You know, it's interesting. My first experience with zoning was in the city of Rochester, where I found out that after hiring a licensed electrician, see, I thought I was doing everything right. I didn't have some guy do it on the side. I got a licensed insured electrician to replace an outlet in my house. And I was told that, oh, you need a permit for that. I'm like, what? Well, what do you mean? You're a licensed electrician. Like, what more? Well, the city of Rochester wants you to pay them $75 to approve this change in your house. I'm like, so $75 to the city to prevent me from burning down my house. And I was like, well, what's your fee? $80. I'm like, so I'm paying $80 to the electrician, $75 to the city for permission to repair my own home. And that's, yeah, that type of stuff, it's got to go.
Yeah, it absolutely has to. While you mentioned your campaign and Larry's campaign, I'd like to point out a little bit of difference in terms of the difference in our objectives. Mm-hmm. Your campaign and Larry's is a very practical approach to how to take the steps necessary one at a time to get to where we have to go. My campaign is about where we want to go. I want to keep pointing to the end goal, and the end goal is freedom. And the only way we're going to get there is if people understand what the problem is. And once they understand what the problem is and where the goal is, then they'll understand why you want to take the steps you're going to take.
Yeah.
And I think the two of us working together, a voice in the assembly and then somebody at the state level actually doing the implementation, it's going to be a powerful force to cause change in New York State.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
All right, you're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations, and we thank you very much for joining us. Andrew and Mark will return in just a moment.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Hey everyone, it's me, Shannon Joy. Join me Tuesday, October 16th at 6 p.m. for Libations for Liberty at the Dutch Mill Restaurant on Dewey Ave. Libertarian candidate for governor Larry Sharp and his running mate Andrew Hollister will be joining me, so don't miss this fun event. Go to the Shannon Joy Show Facebook events for more information. You should definitely come to this. It'll be fun. Libations for Liberty, Tuesday, October 16th at 6 p.m. at the Dutch Mill Restaurant.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right. So here we are. We're back. You know, I asked this question last week. I'm going to ask it again because a lot of people said that it resonated with them. And the question is, it's actually a list of questions. If you were to measure where we are today to where we were 10 or 20 years ago, how do we compare? If you measure our politicians today from 10 or 20 years ago, are they more corrupt? I'd say yes, with worse corruption. In fact, I was just talking with somebody today, and they said the guy who just got brought up or admitted to corruption charges here locally.
Joe Arrigo.
Yes, yeah.
133rd.
Yep. 133rd admitted to accepting a bribe from, I believe it was a developer.
I don't know if they identified who the developer is and what the development, and then there's somebody else, a lobbyist who was involved. I don't know if there's an update on that or not.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics, but it seems like every other week now we're seeing elected officials in New York State being brought up on corruption charges.
And the reason for that is, and the reason it keeps recurring, is that there's never any really meaningful consequences. So we have Dean Skelos, former leader of the Senate, and we have Sheldon Silver, former leader of the Assembly, both convicted of like really broad-ranging corruption on a massive scale. and really kind of stomach turning too, in terms of the arrogance with which it was imposed upon people who had to pull out the money and pay Dean Skelos's dopey loser son, and so on and so forth. And are they in jail?
I don't think so. Is it
house arrest or something? Mark, do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, in any case, I mean, these people have stolen millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then we see, of course, throughout the Cuomo administration is record breaking in terms of corruption and convictions.
Yeah.
So I think that it's on a huge scale, and our sources within the FBI have told us that with Joe Arrigo, that the real crime that he committed, other of course than the alleged, he hasn't been convicted yet, mind you. Is that he's so dumb because he was so blatant about it.
Yeah. It's,
and the FBI tells us it's rampant. It's everywhere.
Yeah. New York State.
I think one of the problems that the citizens have is that they do not get the information in terms of what's happening. The news media just blanks it out, and it's just not there. And this is one of the reasons why we don't know what the situation is because it's not being covered. And I think it should be, because corruption is really a reflection of the principles, the moral character of the person that was elected. And if they believe what's practical is more important than their principles, and they're not willing to take the hard steps just because it's more practical to take the easy steps, then you're going to get what you got. And I believe people would need to start voting for candidates that have principles and believe principles are basically their primary objective is to stick with them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I certainly see that, and I hope that a lot of people see this too, that our system itself is so broken that it allows for this corruption to happen. I mean, yeah, we've got people in there who are bad people, but they're taking advantage of a system that's open to it.
Well, part of the problem is that we now report from the top down, ever since the 16th Amendment, income tax. The money flows down, the authority flows down. It used to be the money was collected locally, towns and villages given to the county. Towns and villages had some control over the county. Counties gave it to the state. The counties had control over the state. The states had control of federal government. Once the 16th Amendment went in, the first thing that happened was the senators got elected by the people. The states lost all control of federal government. There was a republic. We don't have a republic anymore.
Yeah,
nobody represents the states.
The great progressive era of Woodrow Wilson. We have the income tax, then we have the popular election of senators. And as Mark is explaining, the senators used to be the state's representatives in the federal government, and senators were appointed by the states. And they could be recalled at any time if the people of the state felt that the Senate was not representing their interests. They would talk to their state lawmakers, and that senator, that U.S. senator, came back.
Yeah. And it's funny, you mentioned the counties used to have control. Today in New York State, that's all in Albany now with our unfunded mandates. And that's actually a position Larry and I talk about all the time, about let's let counties be counties. Give you your localized control. Keep your tax dollars back in your county. Albany shouldn't be scooping up and collecting everybody's tax dollars and then dangling it above, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, who's going to get this time, you know.
Carrot and stick, yeah.
No, it should just stay in your county.
Andrew Cuomo's Hunger Games.
Yes, the Hunger Games, yep.
The reason why I focused on the structure and wanted to make some mention about the fact that the counties used to control the state is because that's the goal, is give the counties that structure again and to have the local people basically control the counties. We still have that structure in the electoral system where we have board of elections at the county level. But when it comes to making laws, the laws come from the top down, and they should go from the bottom up. And you have a strategy to get there. I want to just keep focusing on the goals and make people understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. And we've got some comments on Facebook, guys. Always feel free to comment on the feed here. Tony D says hello to Mark G.
Hello, Tony.
Yep. And we've got Joel saying awesome tax talk, fair tax, and the 16th Amendment and the IRS. And we got a whole bunch of thumbs up in here as well, a couple hearts. So people are that certainly interested in what we're talking about.
So, Mark, you're running for the 139th Libertarian candidate there in Western Monroe and Orleans and Genesee County. What do you perceive the real concerns of the folks are out there in your district?
Well, I have two that I've perceived. One is the amount of grant money being given to companies and basically wasted. We have with the 77 stamp project. Theoretically, it's an industrial park in the middle of farm country, 45 minutes away from both Buffalo and Rochester. People, professionals, aren't going to travel there. But the expectation is they will, especially in the wintertime when the snow's blowing. Whiteouts apparently don't matter to people.
A lot of snow in Genesee County.
Yeah. And $28 million disappeared. What you can see there is a roadway going from Route 63 to a town road. There's nothing in the middle except empty fields in this roadway with two little spurs that go about 50 feet. And if you look around the countryside, there's more cows than there are people. When you take and you then realize that the $28 million built a sewer line from that site to Orleans County, Orleans County residents are going to have to pick up the bill for the sewer treatment of industrial waste. Orleans County doesn't have any industry. So, I mean, that itself is kind of where they call shell game, basically.
A good example of the waste of state resources by politicians. And what can you do about that?
Well, I absolutely believe that grants should never be given to companies. If the project is actually economically viable, companies will invest in it automatically. If it's not economically viable, they will take money from the federal government or the state government, and as long as the money's coming to them, they'll keep doing it. But as soon as the money's gone from the government, they're gone too because it's not economically viable. We have a great example with the 660-foot-tall wind towers. Now, these are astronomically tall towers that they're proposing to put up in Orleans County. And not just one or two. They're talking about a whole slew of these things. You're going to be able to see them for miles. If there was economically viable, they would be talking about reducing your electric rates, so all kinds of benefits. But right now they're talking about, well, we want to do this because in the future your electric rates will be three times higher than they are now. That would never even be considered by industry unless government's willing to reach into your pockets and take money from you to give to this company. But just the maintenance of these towers is going to be more expensive than the current cost of electricity.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about solar and wind is it has to be subsidized or it doesn't make any economic sense at all. And even with the subsidies, it's marginally successful.
Right. If they want to win wind power, go out, drive out 104. And you will see two wind towers together. The plastics company put up one wind tower to generate electricity for its own use. It was economically viable. So economically viable, they were able to put another wind tower right next to it. They didn't have to worry about the amount of wind shear and stuff causing the towers to become inefficient. And they're generating surplus electrical energy. Those wind towers are economically viable, and they're not 660 feet tall.
And they were built by private enterprise.
Right, built by private enterprise.
Because they looked at it and it made economic sense.
Yep. So, yeah, I would think that's one of them. The other is I've seen my opponent doing a groundbreaking for a multi-million-dollar complex, and they had $10 million given to the town of the city of Batavia to basically put up. They're going to focus on basically five different companies to build these high-rise executive buildings and stuff, maybe a hotel. And then approximately 7% of the $10 million would be left for everybody else to use. When I was traveling around, I was just astonished at how many abandoned properties, really nice-looking properties, are now abandoned or they have tags on them saying that there's a violation not to be occupied because it's a violation of a zoning code. And, you know, this is where we need to start having government focus on what's going wrong in our society. Why are people walking away from perfectly good residences? Why is it that adults, when they become senior citizens, stop investing in their own property? It's because they have a fixed income, and if they spend the money keeping their property up to date and current, what's going to happen is the taxes are going to go up. They'll lose the property. They don't want to lose the property because then they'll be homeless. And so they don't put it in their homes basically get run down. We need to focus on that end of the economic spectrum, not these multi-million dollar projects that nobody really wants to invest in their own.
The voice of Mark Lugowski, candidate for the Assembly. And Andrew, what do we got coming up next?
So what we got coming up next, we're going to talk about our bad law. And I gave Mark choice on this. Those of you who know Mark probably already know which one it is. But if this is your first time hearing him, you get to find out after this break.
WYSL 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM West, and News Power 1040 AM. We'll be back.
You're listening to the voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
Hi, my name is Yolana. My husband, Andrew Hollister, is running for Lieutenant Governor along with Larry Sharp this year, and I'm really excited about it. And I wanted to share a story with you. So I'm in the Susan B. Anthony Square. I thought it was very fitting because if it wasn't for her, I would not have the right to vote this year. So I'm an immigrant. I immigrated here from Czech Republic, and I get to vote this year, which is really exciting. So last year I applied for my citizenship. It was the same year that Andrew ran for city council, and I was really hoping I would get to vote for him as my first time casting a vote, because how cool would that be? But I did not get my citizenship in time. I did, however, meet Larry Sharp at the same time, and I loved him off the bat. I was never really someone who was interested in politics, but meeting somebody who was so down to earth and really had good principles and wanted to take New York in a great direction meant a lot to me. So when I became a citizen this year and I found out he was running for governor, I was really excited that that was going to be the first vote I get to cast. To make things even better, Andrew actually ended up running with him as lieutenant governor after I got my citizenship, so now I got to vote for two of my favorite people. But the other reason it's so exciting, other than getting to vote for them, is that I get to cast a historical vote this year. When these two win, it's going to be historic for the whole United States, and I get to be a part of that. My first vote gets to be part of something big and historic, and I get to vote for my husband. So I'm urging you, if you've never voted, whether you weren't a citizen or and are now, or you just never had the motivation to go out and vote, I would love it if you could come join me to cast this historical vote in this election and help make a new New York.
You're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations.
Well, you can tell by our theme music, it's time for another bad law. Here's Andrew Hollister, a libertarian candidate for lieutenant governor.
Yep. So we've got our bad law queued up here. I just want to remind you guys, if you want to call into the show, 585-346-3000 or 866-552-1009. And the bad law is going to be income tax. And I know that that's Mark's absolute favorite, because ever since I've met Mark and known Mark, it always comes up.
Look at Mark, he can't help himself.
He just can't wait. Yeah, he's getting giddy, he's bottled up, he's ready to go, so I'm gonna let you just take it.
Okay. Yes, income tax is one of my favorite subjects to talk about, primarily because it is tyranny. Even Grover Cleveland called income tax at 3% at any percent is an act of tyranny. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1896 declared income tax totally unconstitutional. And that was because in 1894, the U.S. Congress had passed an income tax law. So in 1896, when they reviewed it, the U.S. Supreme Court pointed out that there were two barriers in the U.S. Constitution that prevented a direct tax on income. We did have an income tax implemented in 1860 to help pay for the war debt for the Civil War, but it was only a 20-year bill, and by 1881, that money was gone. But they actually used that money to create the railroads that we currently have today. That was the source of most of the revenue to create the railroads. The Democrats and Republicans got used to that money coming in, and they changed administrations two or three times. And by 1909, they passed a bill that simply said the Congress can pass an income tax.
And I want to jump in here real quick because I think a lot of people don't realize that we didn't always have income tax.
No, we did not.
And they sometimes they'll ask like, oh, well, what would we do if we didn't have an income tax? How would we ever survive? They don't realize, yeah, we didn't have one initially.
No, we didn't. The government survived on tariffs and on sales taxes. Pretty much that was it.
And also the government was very small. And it was the federal government in particular. The normal American citizen almost had no interaction with the federal government at all until the 1930s.
Well, that's correct. That matter of fact, Woodrow Wilson's New Deal was one of those times when the U.S. Supreme Court said...
You mean FDR's?
FDR's, rather. Sorry. FDR's New Deal was declared unconstitutional, but it was consistent with the law of the land. Congress had the authority to... issue a tax because of the 16th Amendment, and they can do anything they want with that money because it's their money.
Right. It came about because of a constitutional amendment, because otherwise it would have been perpetually turned down.
Yeah. But one of the reasons it was declared unconstitutional is because it totally changed the interaction between the government and the people.
Right.
Grant Johnson's Great Society was another time when they said the entire bill is unconstitutional, but consistent with the law of the land. U.S. Supreme Court can't change the law of the land. Only Congress, at the insistence of the people, can change the law of the land. You keep hearing this over and over, and no wonder people went back to the watching the baseball game because nobody did anything. And then we have the NDAA Act. Using the same justification, the government can do anything with its money that it wants. It can use the money to implement the NDAA Act. Well, the NDAA Act, that bill basically took away your Fourth Amendment rights. So your due process is out the window. You can be taken away by the Homeland Security. They don't have to tell anybody where they're taking you. They don't have to charge you. It's nothing. You can just disappear. And there's nothing you can do about it currently. I believe it's time to get somebody into power that will actually address this issue.
Is that what we know as the Patriot Act?
The
NDAA?
It's part of the Patriot Act.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
It came after that, though. The Patriot Act was almost immediate.
Oh, National Defense Authorization Act. Right, okay.
Yeah, and we've got some comments here. Jim is saying hello, and some people commenting on YouTube as well who are excited. The Liberal Hammer, I will be on their show tonight at 9:30 Eastern.
What is the Liberal Hammer? What's
it? The Liberal Hammer, I believe they're a radio show and a podcast combined. And I forget the name of the radio station that's going to be on. I'll make sure it's posted on social media. It should be on the events page there. But that's going to be a fun conversation tonight, 9:30. I believe there's two hosts to that show. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to talk about whatever is best and interesting to them.
Well, I think going back to the income taxes, I really don't want to leave this yet.
Sure.
At the state level, we have an income tax. Many states have done away with it, and several of them are considering doing away with it. I believe New York State should be one of the states that joins that group that is getting rid of the income tax. Based on the income tax, they were able to implement the real estate tax. And I believe the real estate tax has to go. But in order to make it disappear, the local towns have to have a mechanism to basically fund themselves. They wouldn't be able to fund themselves at their current level under the current zoning code laws and the way they're structured because they discourage businesses. But I believe the only legal source of revenue for the town should be a local town tax. I would like to see the state pass a bill that authorizes towns to have a sales tax and encourage businesses in their town so that people can make a living and don't have to travel 45 minutes in blinding snowstorms to earn a living.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So is it safe to say then that if you were elected to the state assembly, you would vote to remove the state income tax?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question about that.
Awesome. I assumed as much, but I figured...
I would even sponsor the bill. I would even propose the bill if I could find a sponsoring.
Everything. Awesome. Very good. And you mentioned property tax as well.
Is that property tax as well?
Okay.
Right. And
awesome.
I know that this, the governor is actually looking at ways to get rid of property taxes, and his buddy's doing it with basically refunds. So the government's still taking the money.
Wait, I missed this. Cuomo's looking to get rid of the property taxes?
Yeah, he's doing it with refunds. That was the whole purpose of the
tax cap. Yeah, like $300 a year or something.
The tax cap was placed on the system basically backwards.
That was just a trick. That was just so he could say that he was reducing taxes.
Right. Yeah, the cap is often broken by message of emergency or crisis or
absolutely
something like that. And really, when we come back to things like property tax, specifically in the counties and towns, really what's pushing that so hard is the unfunded mandates that come from Albany. Because what happens in your county, and this is just for the listeners who may not be familiar with this process, Albany creates unfunded mandates and forces them on your county, your town, your village. So when you start your budgeting process every year, you already start with a bunch of expenses that you have zero say in. The only say you have is to lobby Albany. And right now, a lot of those votes are New York City votes. So they vote for what's good for them. Upstate kind of gets left behind just about every time. And you start a budget, say you have $1 million budget for your town. You know, in many cases, Monroe County, for example, and our unfunded mandates take up more than 85% of our budget. So we're really stuck with about 14.5%. And if we eliminate those unfunded mandates, man, that frees up so much for you to get rid of those property taxes.
No, absolutely. But one of the things I'm concerned about is the way they're trying to do it right now. They're playing a shell game, especially with the insurance payments you pay for medical insurance. They charge the hospitals and service providers for medical services an enormous tax up front. And the state is actually using those payments to get federal matching grants. And then they give the money back to the hospitals and the service providers with increased refund rates. I know there's a bill pending to have the tax, the federal money, come back to the property owners as a basically tax rebate. But it doesn't eliminate anything, and all they have to do is then just change the percentages, and they still now have a new tax. I think it's time to have the state stop playing that type of shell game. It's dishonest to the government, it's dishonest to the hospitals, it's dishonest to the insurance companies, and it's especially dishonest to people that pay their insurance bills.
Yeah, well, and that's something that comes up often is elected officials in New York will say that you're getting a tax cut. And really what they mean is they've shifted your taxes somewhere else. So maybe they give you a tax cut, as they call it. And for those listening on the radio, yes, I'm giving air quotes over here. I know you guys can't see me. So say they reduce the gas tax a little bit, but then they increase your property tax. They didn't actually cut tax. Well, they didn't actually cut spending. And that's really what needs to happen. We need
Absolutely.
To cut spending, and the taxes will take care of themselves. What's happening is spending is actually going up. They're saying they're cutting taxes, but really they're just shifting it. Like you said, a shell game. They're just shifting it around, moving it around, trying to make it sound like it's better. And we're like the highest tax in the nation. So with all these tax cuts, how's that work? You know, we have all these tax cuts. We're still the highest tax in the nation. How's that work? So that's exactly right. They just move them around.
Yeah.
So,
well, part of the problem that we have with the structure is that in order to get a tax cut, people don't want the services to disappear, but they don't want to step forward and actually do what's needed. For instance, let's take the issue of the homeless, because it's very simple and straightforward. Right now, all the government agents that deal with the homeless shut their doors and lock them at 10 o'clock at night. So if you're homeless after 10 o'clock at night, you didn't make it back, the door's locked, you're on the streets. It doesn't matter what the temperature is outside. There's private enterprise. You get the people like the Mercy House.
Open Door Mission.
In the Open Door Mission. They're open all the time. And it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're homeless and you get to their door, they'll find a spot for you, even if it's just somewhere in the corner where it's warm. private enterprise and private charities are actually much more efficient than the government could ever be. And the money doesn't come out of your pocket unless you're willing to donate.
So
that's the way I would like to go with pretty much everything. Some people say, well, how are you going to pay for the roads? Well, we pay sales tax now with gasoline. That's more than enough money to pay for the upkeep of the roads and the bridges. The problem is it goes into the general fund, and once it's in the general fund, there's no accounting for where it is or what it's used for, and they pilfer it away on all these other projects, giving thousands and millions of dollars to companies for projects that are useless. So, yeah, we have a lot of restructuring to do. It's doable.
Yeah. But. Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to hear about a plan to help with that, I think it was about two episodes ago, we talked about how we can maintain the roads without spending more tax dollars.
They have a plan. They're the Libertarians. And this is Radio Free New York on the WISL stations. We'll be back in a moment.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Shannon Joy. Join me Tuesday, October 16th at 6 p.m. for Libations for Liberty at the Dutch Mill Restaurant on Dewey Ave. Libertarian candidate for governor Larry Sharp and his running mate, Andrew Hollister, will be joining me, so don't miss this fun event. Go to the Shannon Joy Show Facebook events for more information. You should definitely come to this. It'll be fun. Libations for Liberty, Tuesday, October 16th at 6 p.m. at the Dutch Mill Restaurant.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
Oh, Andrew, I just can't resist every show.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged. We will reach greatness.
I have no idea what that means. Nobody's ever explained it, but I think I suspect it means when everybody agrees with Andrew Cuomo.
I think that's what he thinks. I think that's what he means. I'd like to see every American in New York engaged to voting him out of office. That's what I would love to see.
Governor Headcase.
Yep. Somebody did comment on YouTube. They said, for some of these homeless people, they actually can't get their jobs, get back into the workforce, because the shelters close at a time that's not conducive for them to get a job. So it's an issue for those people as well. Just kind of a follow-up on that last segment.
Shelters are open 24 hours a day, aren't they? Open to our mission is.
Well, maybe nonprofit ones. I'm not sure. I know. I think Salvation Army closes at a certain time. The one in the city, because
there's overnight shelters and there's others that
are
not.
There's different ones. I know there was an issue in Rochester with, depending on when they'd release people on parole, they were supposed to check in with the shelter, but the shelters would be closed. The person would be out and about running around on the weekend. So there must be some hours. I'm not sure if it's per organization, per entity. But it's certainly something worth knowing about and discussing.
It's part of the contract they get for getting government money is they have to close at certain times.
That's a good point. A lot of these organizations are susceptible to being infiltrated by government.
Yeah.
And it's very tempting because they can get government funds that way, helps them pay the bills.
The Mercy House is 100% privately donated money. They put up this beautiful 86-bed building for the homeless, and within a month they were up at 120 people. But they're open 24 hours a day.
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. So here in our last segment, I want to squeeze in the Sharp update real quick, the campaign update. I am running for lieutenant governor of New York State, And Larry Sharp and I are traveling all over the state. This weekend is going to be another busy weekend. I'm going to be in Albany area, Ithaca, Gasport. Larry and I will be in Rochester at the Dutch Mill Tuesday night. And I don't know if you guys saw the latest poll, but it looks really good.
Tell us about it.
It came out.
Tell us specifically.
So it's the Gravis marketing poll. Gravis does a ton of polling in New York State. And they're showing our momentum is growing. Name recognition is growing. We're actually just about surpassed the Republican candidate in name recognition, which I didn't think that was very impressive at first, to be honest, when I read it. But then I realized Cuomo's running ads against this guy all day long, and we're passing him a name recognition. So that's amazing. For those who know who we are, we're taking second place. And it shows that if just one of the other candidates were to drop out, if we were able to get their supporters, we could win.
All right, let's go to Eric on the line. Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
Okay. I just wanted to call in because you guys were talking about the various shelters that are set up and how they run and how the government kind of could do better. And you were saying that there seemed to be a problem with some of the way the shelters operate because people who have jobs or want to can't utilize the shelter system and have a job at the same time because of the conflict of hours. I've been through the shelter system. The way that usually works is the shelter is occupied 24/7 basically, but they lock the front door to not let people in and out freely unless you have a phone number to reach, and then they will let you in on an emergency one-by-one basis. But if you're like you have a job or something, there is an issue there because the problem is that you get out of work at 11 o'clock at night. They can let you in, but it's a really complicated procedure and it's a pain in the butt to go through.
Interesting. Oh, just for clarity, we weren't saying the government could do the job better. we weren't suggesting that.
I understand that. I'm just saying that and a lot of that is, as you kind of intimated, a result of the way the government sometimes will help fund programs that they have to follow the regulations and protocols and procedures set out by the government in order to get that extra funding.
There you go. All right. Yeah. I appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for the call. Yep.
There always is strings attached.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Money. Yeah, exactly.
Who's shocked by this?
Yep. So knowing a little bit about the politics in the area where you're running for office, I got a question for you. If the SAFE Act comes up for vote in the New York State Assembly, a repeal specifically, so a vote for the repeal of the SAFE Act in the New York State Assembly, how would you vote?
I would absolutely vote to repeal the SAFE Act. The problem is most of the points in the SAFE Act have already been implemented in other laws. So when they finally do get around to repealing the SAFE Act, it's just going to be lip service. But there's a bigger problem that I'd like the people to understand. You have a right to defend yourself, your family, and your neighbor if necessary. That's a Ninth Amendment right. You have a Tenth Amendment power to use deadly force if and when necessary. And basically what the state has done was to eliminate both of those. The Second Amendment is not about your right to bear arms. In the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, it talks about powers of Congress, and Congress has the power to call up the militia. So the expectation is there will be a militia to call up. The Second Amendment is actually a restriction on the states for having a militia. And it says basically that a militia is necessary to maintain a free state. But because historically when governments had standing armies, they would disarm their citizens. And then when the citizens had a grievance and they created a ruckus to have their grievance addressed, the government would just slaughter their own citizens. We did not want that slaughtering happening in the U.S. And it's happened in the 20th century, if you just think of it, Germany. So what we said was in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, you can have a militia because it's essential, and we're expecting you to do that, but you cannot disarm your citizens. The reason is because it's one of the 10th and 9th Amendment rights and 10th Amendment powers that we reserved. If you read the 10th Amendment very carefully, it says the that all the power is not granted to the United States, nor restricted to the states respectively. Respectively points back to those powers and rights given to the states by the Constitution. So if it's not restricted to the states respectively, they're left to the people. What's really critical is that phrase, not restricted to the states, because that points back to the Second Amendment. The states are restricted in terms of having a National Guard, the state troopers, the city police, and the county sheriff. They're all part of our militia. And if the state is violating the Second Amendment and they've restricted you from having a weapon, you can't carry a concealed weapon, you can't even own a concealed weapon, then they're basically preventing you from defending yourself. And I believe that we need to actually look at New York State and start having the real consideration that the state loses its authority over those militia and have the federal government step in until we fix the law. Because right now, in order for me to carry a weapon, either I have to concede that the state has the right to infringe on my right to bear arms, which is basically giving them the right to violate the Second Amendment, so I would then get a permit and a license, or I have to become a criminal. I'm not willing to do either. So as a result, the state has confiscated my right to defend myself and my family and confiscated my Tenth Amendment powers to actually use force. That's wrong. And we need to go back and redo this whole thing, because the Sullivan Act, 1911, is basically an infringement of people's right to bear arms, and they made it basically a violent felony if you carry a concealed weapon without their permission. That's an infringement. I'd like to go back and have people be able to defend themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
So would you vote to repeal the Sullivan Act?
Absolutely, we vote to repeal the Sullivan Act. You should have a right to carry a weapon. What we need to do, though, is raise the expectations of the average citizen. And what's happened recently in the last 3-4 months is they've actually raised, they've lowered the expectations. And what they've done was raise the age of a minor to 21. So the minor is not 18 anymore. A minor is 21. Parents are responsible for the actions of the minor. And they're now talking about potentially raising it to 26 because kids can stay home and be on their parents' insurance until they're 26. Yeah. I mean, this is changing the expectations in the wrong direction. Well, I would like to lower it to the age of 14 and just say at the age of 14, since people are actually a lot wiser than we were because of the Internet.
Have you had a conversation with a 14-year-old lately?
Only because the expectations are basically not there. We're expecting them to act like kids. I've been in a conversation with a 12-year-old, and he reads the newspaper, and he tells me what's in it and why people are doing things.
Real quick, we only have a couple minutes left here. Give us some contact information and where people can get in touch with your campaign if they want to support you.
Okay, I use Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Glogowski for Assembly, G-L-O-G-O-W-S-K-I. And you can message me on there. I'd be more than willing to friend you. And you can use my email. It's mglogowski08@gmail.com.
Okay.
Andrew,
I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you guys so much for joining in, tuning in. Shout out to Debbie Cox. She said that she really enjoyed the show and likes listening. So if you need to find anything out about the Sharp campaign, Facebook.com, Andrew Hollister for A New New York, Larry Sharp for A New New York. Check us out. We'll be back next week.
And thank you so much for listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations, 1040 AM, 92.1 FM, and 95.5 West. We'll see you next time.